Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Chicago-based jazz singer Tracy Eileen. We talk to her about her life in Chicago, history in jazz, family roots, the future, and her new 2022 CD, You Hit the Spot. On this fourth release and third full-length album, she returns to her straight-ahead jazz roots on an album of standards performed with a contemporary edge. She launched her professional career with the release of her first straight-ahead recording, Love's Journey, back in 2012, and has been at it ever since. She has enjoyed a six-year residency at Buddy Guy's Legends, the famous Chicago Blues and Jazz Club. To this day, she still performs regularly at the club, and over the years, she has opened for many of the biggest names in the music business. Enjoy this story.
Hi, Tracy.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm well as well. Thank you.
Thanks for taking a minute out. I appreciate it.
Oh, of course. No problem.
Before we get into your latest album, You Hit the Spot, you know, we've been through the whole COVID lockdown, and it's been particularly rough on artists. How did you survive that time period, and how did it change you now that we're coming out of it?
That's an interesting question for me because actually in the midst of the COVID lockdown, I released my third album, which was a smooth jazz album, on like April 1st. And I think we went into lockdown 2 weeks before that. And
wow.
I had, yeah, that was like my biggest investment to date in releasing one of my albums. And I had a social media team, record promoter, PR person. I had just filmed, I think, maybe one of the last music videos in L.A., like the week before the shutdown. And I was mortified. And so I had a meeting with my team, and my PR guy, my social media guy said, hey, you know, this may not be as bad. At least there's nothing available now other than the internet for anyone. So it kind of puts you on a level playing field as an independent artist and, you know, with larger labels. And, you know, I have the Honey Crystal record label. And so, you know, I just had to suck it up. I delayed my release by 10 days and it came out. And it really did bubble up. It bubbled up. It bubbled through. It did well in the U.S. with radio play. It did well in overseas and Europe as well. And I also started a live show that I ran on Instagram and Facebook called Meet Me in My Parlor. And I would just give these live performances for like about an hour every either Thursday or Friday, I can't remember, but I did it for almost 2 years while we were in lockdown. And I remember the first day that I aired the show, I had like 1,100 people tune in because there was like literally people were going into the radio stations. They weren't, you know, everybody was in a state of flux, as you know. And so, yeah, so, you know, so, and I did that to promote my music, to promote the record, and just to kind of also build an audience and keep myself, keep my own chops, you know, sharp. And I had all my studio tracks from former albums, the current one, and then I just pulled down different tracks from different sites and just kind of sang. So I continued to sing throughout the pandemic and throughout the shutdown.
So it was really about making a way, and I think that's the interesting thing about the jazz community is that this is what you do anyways. You go into the unknown, you're expected to make something sound good, and then you're only going to do it once. So you just have to, you know, so it's kind of what you do already, but under very extreme circumstances. So, So talk to me a little bit about this new album and when you actually thought about it, when it was produced, all of the particulars that go into the release that we're talking about now that, you know, the world's opening up and everything's hopefully getting to a better place.
Yeah, I think it is. So my first album and my first love has always been traditional and straight ahead jazz and songbook. And my father was a jazz musician And in fact, he always did straight ahead jazz. He's an amazing percussionist and drummer. And he actually almost toured with Count Basie, except he got drafted like a week before they were supposed to go on tour for Vietnam. Wow. But he's a great influence on me, and I sang lead singer in my high school jazz band, my university jazz band, and that's when I was really introduced to songbook, sang some Billie Holiday and that kind of thing with the overall large jazz orchestra at Jackson State University. And then my first album was a traditional jazz album. It was called Love's Journey, and I studied at the Bloom School of Jazz in Chicago when I decided to really, it was about 11 years ago, to really pursue my professional singing career. I continued to sing all my life, but just kind of got sidetracked by life in terms of really pursuing my passion and my dream professionally. So after the pandemic, you know, and the shutdown, a lot of people, as you know, they kind of were reevaluating their lives and that kind of thing. And my band and I had been together about 10 years from the beginning. I pretty much had the same group of people. And my music director was like, hey, Tracy, you know, during this time, I did a lot of music licensing, and I really want to do that. And I know you really want to do some other kind of music. Because we were doing kind of a little bit of traditional jazz, a little bit of smooth jazz, some soul music. It was kind of an eclectic body of music that we were doing with unique arrangements and that kind of thing, an amazing band. And so I said, okay. And at that time, I wanted to kind of go back to singing more traditional jazz music because we had become more of an ensemble than me being a jazz vocalist backed up by my band. So I wanted to move in that direction. So it kind of worked out. And also with conversations I was having with my booking agent as well. So everything kind of came together. And so I decided to work on what I really wanted to do, like everybody else, which is to go back into this genre. So I researched and I found an amazing keyboard player, Dennis Luxian, and who was an amazing jazz keyboardist. My bass player is still with me. Paul Martin. He always played upright bass. He's amazing as well. And now I wanted to get a really great jazz drummer. And so the years I spent in this space in Chicago allowed me to build a lot of great relationships and occasionally play with different people. So anyway, I got Leonard Stroud. He's a great jazz drummer. And it's a very strong trio. So I started putting the album together, and I was working with another a popular jazz vocalist, much older than me, and her name is Sasha Dalton. But she was on Broadway, and you know, did a lot of work in the genre. And so I consulted her as an associate producer to really work with me to make sure that I got the nuances right, you know, in songbook jazz and also just kind of learning about all the different music, and she was really a great creative partner to work with. And then I wanted to do more of a big band sound as well, and I wanted to do some unique arrangements. So Lenora Helm is also, she's an instructor, I think it's at University of North Carolina, but just also a very strong traditional jazz musician, and I think she's the dean of the program of jazz there now. But anyway, she recommended that I reach out to Columbia and try to look at the faculty there, and I did. So I researched the faculty at Columbia right here in Chicago, and I found four people that I wanted to work with, and the one that I wanted to work with most, and I wrote off for, was Thomas Gunther. And he was like, hey, I'm so happy you reached out to me. And so he was who I worked with as a producer and arranger on some of the songs on the album. The other songs I recorded live at Piano Forte, which is a beautiful, it's both a retail piano studio, as well as they have a live studio for concerts and so forth. And recorded the other piece at Transient Sound. And so that was kind of the story of putting the album together, and coming back full circle in that. And I just felt like coming home, really, Joe. So it was a great experience.
How did these seeds of jazz really start blooming in you? I mean, did you always feel like when you grew up you wanted to be a jazz singer, and kind of, you know, what were some of the real seeds that made you want to go after mm-hmm. this career?
Well, one was my dad, you know, and just hearing the music all the time. And the other was my mother, you know. My mother played a lot of recordings. My father was actually obviously playing music live. But I had just the influences of the vocalists, Ella Fitzgerald, Billie Holiday, were some of the older favorites that I had. Love Nancy Wilson different female vocalists and different art forms. So some of it has been in traditional jazz, some of it's been in a little bit more progressive. Most important to me, though, are vocalists that are able to tell a story through their music and interpreting the music in that way. I think Sarah Vaughan, the richness of her voice, because my range is kind of, I can go pretty low, and I have a pretty good, I think it's about 5 octave range in my vocal. So, and then even Chaka Khan, and I looked at these different vocalists and how they sang across genres. But the most important ones to me were the ones that sounded authentic with their voice in terms of what they were singing about as well. So jazz, yeah, I mean, even in high school with my being the lead singer of my high school jazz band and my university jazz band, I really got introduced a lot to traditional jazz music. And the most money I ever made until I actually got a job out of college was playing with the older jazz band in Jackson, Mississippi in a jazz club. And they were much older gentlemen, and I was the lead singer, also the lead singer in my university jazz band. But you know, that's when I really, I performed in a jazz club in addition to university events. So I guess you can say it's kind of been there a while.
So what was the first live jazz show that really moved you, that made you think that's what I want to do?
I would probably say performing with my university band and having a singing sophisticated lady, singing all of me, and that was an initial spark, because, you know, singing that song is kind of complicated. Singing traditional song, but jazz, is not like singing a blues tune or R&B tune. There's some intricacies there and nuances in that the vocalist carries the melody, and so I would say probably at the university. And then later on, 11 years ago, studying at the Bloom School of Jazz. And for me, I think my temperament and my sensibilities always lended more to the jazz genre. In fact, I wish my father passed a few years ago, and even he and I would, on occasion, be able to sit in with him and his band and sing some of those tunes. And so I would say, you know, those influences. And then as a young child, too, my mother, she loved Ella and she loved Nancy. And I think both, and Dionne Warwick, too. But I think those influences impacted me as well.
You know, all of these cradles of jazz, like Chicago and even Kansas City, they have a special blend about what they give the audience and what they do for the world of jazz. What is it that's special about Chicago?
We have the amazing musicians in Chicago. I had an old friend who used to say, everything good comes out of the shy. And I have to agree with that. I mean, we have, I can't think of some of the names of the old venues that were here, the Savoy, the Cotton Club. There was a Cotton Club in Chicago, yes. The Regal Theater, Test Records. You know, there's just a rich history in Chicago for jazz and blues. And all the famous artists of the day came through here, they played through here, or they were born here. And I think, one of the things, fortunately for me, there's so much musical talent around jazz in Chicago. It made it easier for me to produce the kind of work I wanted to, and you hit the spot because it's just all here, you know. And for a moment, I was looking around the country for the right producer, arranger, and I realized everything is here. There's also a plethora of musicians that are just amazing. Jeremy Kahn, you know, he's here. Victor Garcia, you know, guys that are, you know, either Emmy nominated or Grammy nominated or have one. They're all in Chicago. And you happen to catch them here and they're not traveling globally, you can get them in the studio, you know. And so I think that history and that of musical talent in this genre is just part of who Chicago is and the rich history of Chicago and in Kansas as well.
So what do you like the best about being a professional musician? What do you look forward to the most every day?
The part I love the most is performing. I mean, I love being able to sing. I love the audience. I love interacting with the audience. I love being able to tell a story through music. I love using my voice. And over the years, I've been able to really hone my vocal skills, both with the confidence I have in terms of performing on stage, but also and being able, and I've taken vocal coaching and voicing. I always have a person that believes in working on your craft, period. But just the skills that I've developed, really being able to take music I love and learning that you incorporate your life in how you sing a song and how you tell a story, and you can connect it to something. And in that way, you connect with the audience. So I think, you know, that part, and even Joe, just discovering new music, you know, and listening to how different people have interpreted and performed it before. A song that's been around 50 years or more, you know, but it's still being able to deliver it in a way that sounds amazing and unique and fresh and personal. So I guess that's more than one thing.
No, that's fine. So, you know, after all of your albums and performances and being, you know, having a solid jazz career, I'm curious, mm-hmm. if you were to have a dream tonight and run into the younger version of yourself, say before you released your first album, and you could give that young version a piece of advice based on what you've learned throughout all these years, what would you tell your young version?
The first thing I would say is to believe in yourself and to know that your gift will make room for you. Make sure that you have people around you that you can trust and that believe in you, and never be afraid to pursue your dreams, and keep your day job until you can make sure you can survive, you know, as a musician, and just figure out how to do both.
So if you could get into a time machine right now and go back and see a dream gig in the annals of jazz, who are you going to go see? Where are you going?
Let me see. That's a good one. I think I gotta go see. I want to see two. Oh, I want to see three people. I want to see Billie Holiday. I want to be in her presence. I want to hear her voice. I want to hear her tell a story. I want to be moved. I feel the exact same way about Ella, and I feel the exact same way about Nina Simone. Just, I think the scatting of Ella, I would just be mesmerized to see, and the back and forth with the musicians and that kind of thing. The elegance and the glamour of Billie Holiday and the nuances in her voice. Okay, and I would need to add Nancy Wilson to this. And her show, the album she did with Cannonball Adderley, I would love to see, if they toured with that, which I'm sure they did, I would love to see that show.
So everyone has a perception of you, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you're the one that lives your life. You have a perception mm-hmm. of yourself. Who do you think mm-hmm. you are?
Ooh, I think I'm a musician. I'm definitely a creative. I'm a singer for sure. I am very determined. I have a great business mind. I'm one of the few people, as my musical director told me years ago, few people embody the mind of an artist and a business person. That's helped me tremendously to get to this point in my career. And I'm a person that believes in continued growth and development. You know, and continuing to always work on your craft and to always be better and to, you know, and to believe. I think what I found in a musical journey is somewhat, it actually is a faith builder too, because you don't know how something is going to happen. You just have to believe that it will and just do the work. And so I would say a person of faith too.
So Tracy, anyone out there that wants to pick up the album, this one or others, know about your live shows, anything related to you, where's the best place for them to go?
Well, you can first go to TracyEileen.com, T-R-A-C-Y-E, Eileen, E-I-L-E-E-N.com, and you can read all the reviews. I've gotten amazing reviews, Joe, from across the world in the U.S., so I'm really excited about that. But you can also listen to the music there and download it there. You can download the album on iTunes, Amazon, put it on your Spotify playlist, so wherever you'd like to go. You can pretty much get the music. And if you're in Chicago, we're working on a tour of the album for 2023 now, both in the U.S. and in Europe. If you're ever in Chicago, I do have a residency at Buddy Guy's Legends. So I'm there for Jazz Sundays every second Sunday of the month.
Beautiful. Tracy, thank you for taking time out. Good luck with everything. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate the call and the interview.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players and singers in Chicago, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. And thanks to Tracy for her time, music, and stories. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends. I want to tip you off to a wonderful program I found out about. As we expand our reach, we have made some friends out there in the world that love jazz as much as we do. This program is fully endorsed by Neon Jazz.
Gerald Albright, Maria Schneider, Charlie Hunter, Duke Robillard, Sean Jones, Walter Beasley, Steve Swallow. Something Came from Baltimore is a jazz, blues, and R&B podcast and radio show, and it's not really about Baltimore. Subscribe to the podcast and listen to your favorite artist or future favorite artist. That Something Came from Baltimore, and be a part of that Be More Music scene. Joe Lovano, Jeff Kaufman, Paula Cole, Danuzo Makatani, Ann Passio, Chess Smith,
Neon Jazz.